Good morning. We're so glad you could join us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and our senior pastor, Ken Keltner, is with me in the studio, but we have so many other special people here today. Mark and Lynette Hynek from Costa Rica, and they have brought with them a national from Costa Rica, Karen. So welcome, all you guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Good job, Karen. Karen will say a few words in English.
Hi, my name is Karen. I'm from Costa Rica. I'm happy to stay here.
That's good. She's giving me that look, folks. You can't see it on radio, but the look is, that's all I want to say. But we're glad that you've joined us this morning. As you know, we've been emphasizing getting the gospel out and discipleship around the world and how exciting it is to see what God is doing. And as we listen to various missionary stories, they're all different. And Mark, Lynette, we're thrilled to see your presentation and to see what God has been doing down through the years. And like in Karen's story, working with the young people, and now they are excited about working with you folks. Tell us a bit about that, Mark, if you will.
Well, when we got down to Costa Rica in 2006, originally my plan was, well, I had the basic titles to do evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. And
right.
That's what I was praying about, but the Lord led us into a different ministry of helping existing churches.
Mm-hmm.
Where the pastors really had no training whatsoever and absolutely no discipleship was going on.
Hmm.
Once I started working with them, specifically in the church in Sarchi, I noticed no one wanted to work with the youth.
Huh.
And I had never worked with youth, and I was quite nervous with working with youth. I really didn't know what really to do.
But you had a young wife.
Yes, I did.
There we go. All right.
So I approached the pastor and said, well, you know, I'm willing to work with them.
I
told him, send them over to my house instead of the church.
Yeah.
And when they came over, I told them, look, I've never worked with youth. I'm kind of afraid of you right now. And I told him, you're probably going to get bored with me reading Spanish lessons with my really bad gringo accent.
Sure.
But I told him, I'm going to love you to death. And that opened up doors.
Oh, yeah.
They approached us after a while and said, you're the first people to treat us with respect.
Wow.
But they also came up to me and said, Mark, at first, we really don't like what you're preaching, but we can't refute it. You're giving us the Bible. And then as time went on, they came to us and said, we've never seen anyone live out what they preach like you have.
I see.
And just pouring our love into them and investing our lives into them. And over these past 10 years, it's just blossomed to where we have now young adults ready to spread the gospel.
So you're saying that love is the international language.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Without that, I wouldn't have known what to do with the kids.
Now, you say kids. What ages were we talking about?
From 15 to 30 years old, if they were not married yet.
They were still in the youth group.
That's correct.
Okay, okay. But were they disrespected in churches? It sounds like they were just like nobodies.
They were kind of cast off, and they based it on a false interpretation of the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and he will not depart from you.
Okay.
And they thought, well, I brought him to church. He's good to go, so he's not going to depart. He's under a promise.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd confront them saying, well, you didn't train them, and they actually did depart.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we corrected that, and most of the adults just said, the teens are too rebellious. There's no hope for them.
I see.
My question is, what got you to Costa Rica? I mean, because you're from Menominee Falls.
Yes. I joined Brookside in 20 years ago this October and was counseling with Pastor Taylor at the time when he was here, and I just wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't know what that meant, but I wanted to serve him, and Pastor Taylor said, have you ever considered going to a Bible college to study for the ministry? And I said, well, whatever he wants me to do, I'll do.
Sure.
And he said, what do you think you'd study? Well, what came to mind is I had been in the military for 14 years.
Right.
And while in the Wisconsin National Guard, I had been in Honduras and Panama. I was an MP, so I was down there, and the engineers were down there rebuilding roads, schools, and clinics, and I was on site for security, so I just sat in my Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids came, and I started playing with them in my Hummer, and we'd drive around, and the engineers would say, well, there goes our security. But I specifically remember, in every Latin American town, there's a park in the center.
Sure.
And then a Catholic church right next to
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I remember the Catholic church, the people, but I didn't remember seeing a gospel witness.
Oh.
And so I told Pastor Taylor, well, I think the Lord wants me to go back to Central America. And I honestly said, I don't know what that's called. And he's like, that's called missions. And so I went down to Bob Jones to study for the ministry. And it wasn't until my second year during Missions Emphasis Week, I was talking to a missionary from Brazil,
mm-hmm.
Bill Kiefer.
Mm-hmm.
And I expressed my desire to go back to Central America, but I really wanted to work with someone, not be on my own. And he said, well, you need to go with Alan Lund. He's in Costa Rica. And I said, all right. And at the time, he says, oh, and by the way, he's in town, so search him out. Well, one evening, I went, friend called me up in the dorms and said, hey, you want to go to this church Sunday evening? I said, yeah, I've never been there. And so we went there, and who was presenting his work?
Of course.
Alan Lund. And
yeah.
I got to talk to this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was in 98. And so for 4 years, we prayed. And then in 2002, we went on a survey trip, and the Lord confirmed that that was where we were going.
Yeah, and I have a question. Okay, so Lynette, Indianapolis.
Yes.
Right? That's
yes.
where you grew up.
That's correct.
And you grew up in church.
Yes,
right?
I okay. did. My parents were both Christian school teachers. And so as far as I can remember, I was always in church every service and serving right along with them.
You were teaching school, right?
Actually, no. Everyone in my family was a teacher, but I was a business major.
Well, how about that?
Kind of backslidden, huh?
Kind of the black sheep of the family there. But when I graduated from college, I went to Mexico to work with some missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there thinking I was going for the rest of my life. But after 7 months, I ended up back in the United States. And kind of like a little lost puppy, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I thought I was going to do this the rest of my life. But the Lord opened the door for me to work in the home office of a mission board. They were looking for someone with the business degree that I had, but a heart for missions. And so I went there and I told them, no, I'll only be here for 1 year because I'm going back to Mexico.
Okay.
Mm.
But a long story short, I worked there the next 5 years. And during that time, met my husband and still haven't been back to Mexico.
So the mission board, was that with GFA
that
you were working?
That was Gospel Fellowship Association.
So you were working in Greenville then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She had the privilege of being Dr. Dreisbach's secretary.
Oh, wow.
How about that? You know, we honored Dr. Dreisbach here before he passed away. He was getting ready to go to Northern Africa, and we brought some of his family in to say thank you to him. Just his faithfulness on the field. I think he was it 60 years? That he was involved in missions?
I think so. He was in his 80s when he passed away, and I know he kept going back till the very end. His desire was to die in Africa.
Yeah, sure was.
But not just to go and die, but to go and serve.
Right.
And so, you know, you're in Greenville going to school, I guess, and that's how you met Lynette?
Yeah, we did extension ministries while students, and I was an older student going down there at the age of 30, so I went with a group of grad students to a women's shelter, and we'd preach a service on Friday and Sunday. Well, my sophomore year, between my freshman and sophomore year, she had come back from Mexico
okay. And
started working that extension ministry. And so when I came back, the extension leader kind of elbowed me and said, hey, she's interested in missions.
My story, though, was a little bit different. I had gone, you know, to help with the music and such. But when our mutual friend was trying to pair us up, I said, I will never date him. He's too tall. He's too old. He can't sing and can't play the piano. And I'm never going to date him.
So you heard him sing, huh? And you knew,
I used to play the piano louder to cover up his voice.
Wow.
But praise the Lord, my mother-in-law helped me out. When she told her mother that, her mother said, Well, honey, your father's older than me. He's taller, and he can't sing or play the piano.
Oh, there you have it.
And not only that, he called back to Brookside, and he had them all praying that I would be his wife. And he went to all the guys in his dorm and had them pray that I would be his wife. It's just the power of prayer. God changed my heart.
Now, did you know all this was going on?
I did, unfortunately. It also, the pastor that was here at Brookside at that time, Dean Taylor, that had influenced him towards missions, was my youth pastor that took me on mission trips and influenced me towards missions.
It was a damn deal then.
Well, when I first found out, I wasn't quite thrilled about that, but later on, we thought that was pretty neat.
So, what did you finally do to win her heart?
I have no idea.
Just your natural charm.
It was just a prayer. And then one day, all of a sudden, she's like, oh, by the way, I do really like you. And I'm like, you could have told me that earlier.
I was living in Greenville, but I went away to a Christian camp on the weekend to work and help them out at the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina. And I missed him. And I don't know, God just changed my heart.
So then, Karen, here they come. They come over to Costa Rica, and you get to just, like, be part of their family, huh?
Yes.
What was it that drew you to the Hynek's? What made you, let's say, want to be with the Hynek's?
Okay, I want to talk about my experience with them. So, Lynette will translate for me. Crecí en una iglesia cristiana, viviendo una vida como debía, pero sin una meta acerca de mi cristianismo.
So I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't really have a goal in life, and I just was living a life without any real goal or direction.
Mark y Lynette empezaron a trabajar con el grupo de jóvenes de nuestra iglesia, sin conocer totalmente nuestras costumbres o creencias.
And Mark and Lynette came and started to work with the youth in our church without knowing our culture or our beliefs or how we did things.
Ellos empezaron a enseñarnos acerca de la Biblia, la palabra de Dios.
They started to teach us from the Bible.
Siendo sincera, muchas veces no estábamos felices con lo que escuchábamos.
Really, to be truthful, we weren't really happy about what they were teaching us.
Pero era la palabra de Dios y no podíamos decir nada.
But it was the Bible and we really couldn't refute it.
El tiempo empezó a pasar y nuestros corazones empezaron a cambiar para la gloria de Dios.
So things started changing for God's glory.
I think we're going to have to stop right there. We've kind of come to the end of our time. But next time you join us here in a couple of days, Karen will continue sharing with you how their arrival on the field and their discipleship began to really touch her heart and reach her for Christ. So y'all be sure to join us in a couple of days, and we'll continue this story. Until then, God bless you.